morning.
Good morning.
I want to first thank you for the invitation to speak this morning. And I'd like to echo the comments of Ron a couple of weeks ago about the opportunity the men have to come and give a lesson if they so desire. People who know me well know that when it comes to preaching, I get a little anxious. I get a little anxious for two reasons. One, I much prefer teaching a class because I like that interaction that you have with the class environment, as opposed to listening to myself for 20 or 30 minutes. And second of all, I have a deep respect for God's Word. And I understand the responsibility that it comes with preaching a lesson, especially in this environment. And that this morning I hope you don't hear necessarily my words, but I hope you hear the Word of God. I want to start out this morning with a little exercise. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or do anything like that, but I'd like, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes. And imagine, if you will, you're in a remote wooded area alone. It's cloudy, moonless, starless night. What do you see? Well, I hope you answered nothing. And I think you've just now begun to understand what darkness is all about. I think after this past week, you could probably think back when you lost your power, if you lost your power, what darkness is all about. What are the emotions that you're feeling as you're standing there in the dark? Perhaps you're feeling fearful, lost, confused, lonely. But take yourself back to that wooded area, and without a sense of direction, off in the distance you see a faint glow of a light beginning to shine through the trees. You're drawn to that light, but why? Light inherently brings with it a sense of hope, comfort, and a path to which to follow. And I think we all understand how physical light and darkness impacts our daily lives, especially after this past week. Since the beginning, God created and separated light and dark. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 1, I'll begin in verse 1. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning, because we will be turning to quite a few passages. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day." You know, light is a powerful thing. I think we all recognize this. I don't know how many of your mothers told you not to look directly into the sun. You know, in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created the sun as the greater light. And it has great power. Light takes on many forms today. We have these huge spotlights radiating out of lighthouses that show sailors the way. We've come into a technology where we compact light into LEDs that light up our electronics. And after this week, we're reminded of the small illumination of a candle. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll use verses 14 through 16 as our foundation for this morning's lesson. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has seen the multitude gathering, and he's begun his Sermon on the Mount, covered in chapters 5 through 7. And following his instruction of the Beatitudes, beginning in verse 14, he talks about, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I entitled this lesson this morning, Let Your Light Shine. And I want to spend this morning's time looking at how Scripture, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, give a sense of light, both in a physical standpoint as well as figuratively. So why should we let our light so shine? I think we can read already in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus told us to do so. And I think this is honestly all the reason that we need, if we truly follow His commandments. I could probably close the lesson and be a very short lesson and be very impactful all at the same time. But I don't think that would give the Scriptures justice. And so I'll look at a few more verses and listen to myself a few more minutes. As I mentioned, if we do what He commands us, we are examples and disciples of His. So why else should we let our light shine? The world is darkness, and it needs the light. In fact, we've been called out at one point out of the darkness. Throughout Scripture, darkness is often equated with evil, with sin, and is often labeled as the world. In a world darkened by sin, Christians must demonstrate a proper light. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, we read, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul is telling giving these instructions to those who are at Ephesus. And likewise, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul to those in Colossae, reminding them to give thanks in chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Later in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, writes, But you referring to those who are following Christ, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In Bible class, we use this verse in a little bit different context, as we are a royal priesthood, as we compared the things that we read in Leviticus. But you look at these three verses and see that we have been called out of that darkness, and it is now a responsibility to show the light. Another reason that we should let our light shine is to expose ungodliness. I hope you didn't turn too far from Ephesians 5. We'll finish that section in chapter 5, verses 8 through 13. For you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Likewise, in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. I have to remember, you're turning pages and I have it all typed out in front of me. Beginning in verse 19, And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Another example, just like we find in Matthew 5, of wanting to show others and glorifying God. You know, light exposes what is in darkness. That's why we have lights in closets. It's why we drive cars with headlights. It's why we even let doctors probe various parts of our bodies. And lighthouses showing sailors the dangers of rocky shorelines. Showing our light helps others see the way. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This idea helps us to make the connection with Christ being the life and the light. If you turn back at the beginning of John, we see in the beginning of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You know, this was foreshadowed and prophesied way back, even back into Isaiah 9 and verse 2. I won't go there at this time. Another way we can help others see the light is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Very, very powerful messages that I think we all need to apply. You know, back in Matthew, Jesus talks about, "Let your works be seen of men." And I want to clarify this by, this is not to be seen of men, but we are to do these things unto all men. Galatians 6 and 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." In John 3:21 it says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." You know, we teach this concept to our children even at a very young age. We teach them the song, "This Little Light of Mine." And how often, I think, as adults, we forget that. And while I'm not going to stand up here and sing it for you, for your benefit, it has a great series of verses for us to reflect on. It talks about shining our light all the time. Not when it's convenient, not to certain individuals. It talks about not putting it under a basket or a bushel. And it talks about not letting Satan blow it out. You know, I think, as a side note, we often worry about who we let our light shine to. It's easy to come in this building, take off our basket or bushel, check it at the door like we do a coat. Because in a sense, that's why we're all here. We all have this in common. Then as we leave this place, we go to the closet, take out our basket, and put it back on. Now maybe when we get home, we take it off again. Or maybe if we get together with friends who we're comfortable with, we'll take it off again. And I worry that we justify it to ourselves, that we're using it as a protective blanket. We're not going to let others dampen our light. And I often think that's just an excuse. Because in a sense we are, right? We are actually dulling our light by not showing it. Think about these things as adults, as we teach our children. Are we really teaching them and showing them? Something to think about. When we let our light shine, it proves who you are. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it begins in verse 5 saying, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We turn over to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. It begins by saying, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights of the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." In the essence, it's being Christ-like. We are to let our light shine before all men. Jesus did not choose to show his light to a certain group of individuals, but to anyone and to all. I have a quote. I don't remember where I received the quote or who to give credit to the quote. But it says, "The believer does not have inherent light. Rather, how we reflect light. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we reflect it. Therefore, we need to make sure that nothing comes between us and the Lord's light." It gives you a very stark image of being a mirror, doesn't it? Often, our actions, our words, our behaviors are reflective of our true core values. Lastly, in this section, how should we let our light shine? Or why should we let our light shine? It's really our responsibility. A responsibility that requires action. It's not just something we let happen, but requires action on our part, how we interact with other people, our willingness to share the gospel with others. So where does this light come from? Where does this power? It's not necessarily a gas-powered generator, which I would have liked to have had this week. The power comes from Christ. He is the source of our energy. Christ in you Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the light of the world. Beginning in John chapter 8, we have a series of three statements that Jesus makes. In John chapter 8, we find Jesus being, well, at least attempting to be trapped with the adulterous woman. And he says in verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." A chapter over in John chapter 9, we see Jesus healing the blind man, making a similar statement of, "I am the light of the world." And then in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, "And Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.' These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." We see in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, John the Baptist bearing witness to the light. In verse 6 it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." There are other sources in which we gain. We gain from the Word. The Word is something we have tangible. And just as the Bereans did in Acts 17, we must study it daily. It says in verse 11, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We also see in Psalms 119, verse 105, we must let the word guide our every action. It says in 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We must store it in our hearts. We must come to know it better. It's often something we leave on our coffee tables, in the trunks of our cars. It should be more at a forefront in our daily lives. Dedication to God helps our light shine brightly. In 1 John 1, 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another." I can only imagine that as we come together, our lights grow brighter. The collective power of our individual lights are magnified. And so as we are together, let us be mindful of that. Also, we must remain faithful. I can only envision ourselves as a light bulb outside. Over time, dust, weather, corrosion begins to dull our light bulbs. And we must be diligent at cleaning them, making them transparent for all to see. What are some hindrances to letting our light so shine? First thing that came to my mind is fear. Fear is a major enemy. But we must be like David. Psalms 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's the whole idea of not letting Satan blow out our lights or hiding it under a basket. I think we often try to treasure what we have, and the best way we know is to protect it and not let anything see it. But in this concept of light and darkness, we need to let our light shine. A love of the world will lead to a loss of light. I mentioned the dirty light bulbs. Staying clean. And we must not conform to this world. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We also need to be mindful that we not neglect our power source. I think we've touched on that throughout this lesson. But failure to stay connected through power of prayer and study will result in a loss of light. Staying away from the assembly is another way. Staying in contact with Christ, as I previously mentioned in John chapter 12. The idea of losing that light and not getting it back is a scary thing. In conclusion, a few things to help keep us on the right path and shining our light. One way to do this is to love one another. Doing good unto all men. Living a consistent life for the Lord before others. Seeking the lost and being a servant. Many of us in this audience are Christians today, but I think we can all improve in shining our lights. But if you're not a Christian and you are in darkness, the gospel is trying to call you out. And you need to answer that call. I'll conclude with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." As we are about to sing this invitation song, I hope you'll reflect on these verses. And one of my points today was to inject as little of my thoughts into this and really demonstrate how much text in the Bible is given to light in contrast to darkness. So the lesson is yours at this time, and if you have need of this group, I know that there are many who would be willing to study with you. Perhaps if you've not chosen Christ to be your Savior, that opportunity also can be afforded to you as we stand.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Friends. blessing.